Hello and welcome to Swiss Info's weekly programme for May the 25th. I'm Julia Slater in Bern. We've got lots of animals of various kinds today. Moves like an ape, looks like a man. The theme to Tarzan. Ape men are a source of endless fascination. But do you believe they really exist? The Yeti in the Himalayas? Bigfoot or Sasquatch in the forests of North America's Pacific coast? The Almasti in the mountains of the Caucasus? The Orang Patek in the remote regions of Sumatra? This is the field of cryptozoology, the study of animals whose existence has not been proved. A joint project between Oxford University in Britain and the Museum of Zoology in Lausanne is hoping to use recent advances in science to get to the bottom of this mystery. The passionate convictions of cryptozoologists are not enough, as Michel Santori, director of the Lausanne Museum, explained.
These people claim that these species exist, but on a pure scientific point of view, as long as we have no scientific proof, mainstream science is putting aside these kind of testimonies.
Much of the evidence put forward so far has been in the shape of rather blurry pictures of the alleged animals themselves or of their footprints. Now, anyone who has tissue, preferably hair or perhaps teeth, which they think comes from one of these beasts, is invited to submit them to the researchers for DNA analysis.
The idea is really to have a very, very basic scientific approach. These samplings will be analysed in Oxford, and then we will see if these DNA that we can amplify belongs to a known animal, that could be a goat, that could be a bear, for instance, or if it belongs to something that is not in the database.
And that could be a humanoid or it could be any unknown animal.
Yes, exactly.
The project, which has only just been launched, is appealing to anyone, individual or institution, who might have suitable material for sampling in their possession. So just who might that be?
So there are some some cryptozoologists who receive samples from someone else, from Nepal or from Oregon or California for the Sasquatch. So some of these people have hairs in their collection. So we really want to encourage them to sacrifice part of these hairs to send them to Brian Sykes in Oxford University, and then we can try to sequence the DNA of these hairs or two, something like that. And then we can have scientific answers, because the DNA sequences we can get at that moment will be compared to the huge amount of other DNA sequences that we have in gene banks, for instance, on the website. So we can quite rapidly know if this sequence belongs to a known animal or to a human or to something or someone who is not really known by science.
They've already had many queries, and some people have expressed a willingness to submit material. The sequencing is being done in Oxford under Brian Sykes, Professor of Human Genetics there. The Lausanne Zoology Museum is involved because it holds the archive of the father of cryptozoology, Bernard Heuvelmans, a Belgian-French biologist who spent 50 years investigating reported sightings of the Yeti.
He had a huge amount of files and archives that he gathered all over the world. And these archives now are housed in our museum, so they can be also seen and studied by other people, other scientists. But this is basically because we have this kind of archives here. We are the only museum which have this kind of collection.
And does the archive include tissues?
No, unfortunately not, because otherwise we would have begun with that.
So you're just depending on the public or institutions sending you things in?
Because we know, and there are dozens of people who have this kind of tissues in their hands, so maybe they can sacrifice one or two of them and send them to us to be analysed.
And personally, do you expect that you will find new creatures?
Frankly, I don't know. That's all the interest of the approach. Why not? I mean, my feeling is we will probably found some DNA sequences which belongs to known animals. But why not? I mean, it's, as a scientist, I stay open.
Now I'm the king of the swingers, oh, the jungle VIP. I I've reached the top and had to stop, and that's what's bothering me. I want to be a man, man cub, and stroll right into town and be just like the other men. I'm tired of walking around. Oh, ooby-doo,
ooby-doo.
I want to be like you.
Hop-de-ooby-doo-ba.
I want to walk like you.
Chip.
Talk like you.
Choo-choo.
You'll see it's true.
Shoo-ba-dee-doo.
An ape like me.
Scooby-dooby-dooby.
Can learn to be human too.
I Want to Be Like You, from the film of The Jungle Book. Is that how apes really feel, I wonder? You're listening to Swiss Info's weekly programme. And now for our next lot of animals. You're doubtless familiar with sniffer dogs. You might have seen them at the airport looking for drugs and explosives. And of course they're used by police to track criminals. But insects? That was a new one on me when I heard about dogs in action in one of the Basel Rhine ports this week. We often hear of invasive new species of plants and animals arriving in Switzerland from countries perhaps on the other side of the world and thriving here to the detriment of the local flora and fauna. The Asian tiger mosquito, which carries some dangerous fevers, is already present in the southern canton of Ticino and is expected to spread north at some point. The giant hogweed, a plant which can burn the skin, is already present all over the country. That's just two examples out of several hundred. Invaders can compete with native species, destroy the local environment in different ways, and pose risks to human, animal, and plant health. While some are introduced deliberately, others sneak their way in. And that's the case of the Asian long-horned beetle, a pest native to China and some other Asian countries, which in the past few years has made its way to both Europe and the United States. It attacks a wide range of broadleaf tree species, laying its eggs in the bark, from where the larvae burrow deep into the heart. A heavy infestation will kill the tree within a few years. They're already present in all of Switzerland's neighbours, mainly transported in wood packaging used for imported Chinese granite. And this week it was announced that larvae were found in a consignment arriving in one of Basel's ports, where barges bring heavy goods up the Rhine from the Netherlands. And that's where the dogs came in. They'd been brought from Austria. I spoke to Uta Hoye-Tomicek, an insect specialist from the Austrian Federal Research Centre for Forests in Vienna, who developed the training programme, and I asked her what kind of dog she uses.
The best will be at 1.5, 2, 3 years to start with this training.
And what kind of dogs are they? What breed of dog?
We prefer dogs which were used for hunting, because these races normally are breed it for long periods and many generations for a good nose, because also hunting dogs need a very good nose.
And does it also depend on the character of the dog? Are some dogs good at it and other dogs not so good?
It depends, of course, of the individual dog, because not every dog is interested in this scent. They have to like this scent, because the work has to make fun and they have to enjoy in this work. If you will push the dog to work on that, it will not be successful. For example, we are now working in Switzerland 10 days, and this is a very exhausting work. And if the dogs were not loving this work, they would stop after a few days.
The first dog started training in 2009. Basic training takes 10 to 12 weeks, done in two modules of 1 week, with a two-month break in between for them to assimilate what they've learned so far. After their initial training, it's important for them to go on gaining experience to be able to cope with all possible situations. And it takes about 18 months before they're regarded as fully trained. They're used not only to sniff out packaging, but also on growing trees. Martin Büchel of Switzerland's Environment Office described to me, on a not very good line I'm afraid, how they behave.
Dogs in action are really impressive to observe. They sniff better, I would say, than our eyes can see. They sniff the nose on the tree. They can sniff till, I would say, 6 meters in the high.
So how do you know that they found something?
The dog barks or sits down and looks in the eyes of the trainee and so on. There are different possibilities.
The programme developed in Austria by Dr. Hoye-Tomicek and her colleague Gabriela Zausing was the first in the world. They've now started taking it to other countries in Europe, and the first dog started training in the US a year ago. So what about Switzerland?
We educated also 5 dogs for Switzerland, which have passed the first course in April in Austria, and they will take part in the second course in beginning of July, also in Austria, and after that they have to be trained by their own, and maybe we will give them a further training course. So maybe in the end of the year and with start of the next year, Switzerland will have 5 dogs which are also able to work on that.
So far the dogs have found 7 larvae and no adult beetles. As for other pests, Dr. Hoya Tomicek is working on those too, but she told me plans were not yet far enough advanced for her to be able to say more.
You can do anything you want. It doesn't matter how hard it is. You can do it. You can do it.
That's Unbreakable, Switzerland's failed entry to the Eurovision Song Contest, being held in the Azeri capital Baku on May the 26th. The song, sung by Sinplus, two brothers from the Italian-speaking canton of Ticino, didn't make it into the top 10 of its heat on May the 22nd. And Sinplus couldn't win as far as their critics were concerned either. When their song first appeared on the web, the lead singer was slammed for his atrocious English accent. After he'd worked on improving it, others said the song had lost all its charm. As for the disappointing result, what's new? The Swiss are used to Eurovision failure. Last year's entry, sung by Anna Rossinelli, made it through to the final and ended last. Nevertheless, she scored the country's biggest success since 2006. In 1998 and 2004, the Swiss entries got the dreaded nul point, 0 points. According to the Swiss news agency, who have evidently been busy with their calculators, the inferiority complex the Swiss have developed about the contest, which they gamely enter and broadcast every year, is not fully justified. Even if they've not been in the top 3 for 19 years, they have won twice, been on the podium 6 times, and in the top 10 no fewer than 26 times. That apparently means that overall Switzerland is the 9th most successful participant. I can't help thinking that you can use numbers to prove more or less what you want them to, but never mind. And that's all we have for you today. Do go to our website, swissinfo.ch, for news and background about Switzerland. And tune in again here next week. To sing us out, here's more of Sinplus's Eurovision entry. I'm Julia Slater in Bern.
Place. Don't stop, try your best. Don't stop. Don't stop moving. Today, without a doubt, a good vibe is in the crowd.